Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
Thank you. Good morning. We are Scott and Emily Armstrong, and we are global missionaries in the Church of the Nazarene. The Church of the Nazarene has been sending missionaries for over 100 years. Every time you give to something that's called a World Evangelism Fund, you're helping us do what you're going to hear about this morning. So we thank you for letting us say yes to God. When we received our call to mission, it meant that we were a part of a church that allowed us to go serve God in other nations. And so we really appreciate your support. We want to share with you this morning just a little bit about what that looks like. We want to share a few stories with you this morning. And we want to show you a map as well of where we live. And so we live in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and that is the island that's kind of in the middle of the Caribbean there. It's orange on this map. But we serve 32 different nations, as Pastor just said. So we live in the DR, but we also work in Mexico all the way through Panama, and then all of the Caribbean nations. So we do a lot of traveling. We love to be with people. We love training people. And we want to make sure that you are a part of that with us, not just through your offerings, but also through your prayers. You might have received a magnet when you came in, and it's got a picture of our family, so you actually can see our kids. We would love for you to put that on your refrigerator or a filing cabinet, and every time that you would see that picture, if you would pray for something that you hear about today, if you would pray for our family or a part of our ministry, we know that God is going to use those prayers to help this ministry advance in the future.
The text that we're going to talk about is from Ezekiel 37. And the first few verses show that God was guiding the prophet Ezekiel into a valley. Let's kind of read that together. It says, "He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, bones that were very dry." Now, some of us have heard of this before, right? Maybe this passage. Maybe some of us have not. But this is actually a scary moment for Ezekiel. He's a leader in the church. He's a prophet. But God is purposefully, by His Spirit, leading him to a valley. Now, even today, we talk about valleys, like peaks and valleys. Oh, the last year, you know, it's been a lot of peaks, a lot of valleys. We even refer to valleys as kind of something bad, difficult, right? Well, this isn't even just any valley. This is a valley of bones and dry bones. There was apparently an army that had perished in this moment. There had been some victory at some point, but not in this moment. In that valley, there were bones and they were dry. And it says, in great manner, or in a huge abundance. It was very dry.
Part of the ministry that we're involved in Mesoamerica is called Genesis. And what Genesis is an urban initiative. And we have realized that we need more presence of the Church of the Nazarene in our big cities. God kind of has led us in that path for many, many years, and we didn't even realize it. And sometimes we see some of those cities as these valleys of dry bones. We've lived in Guatemala City. We've lived in San Jose, Costa Rica. We've lived in Panama City. Now we live in Santo Domingo. All of these are cities of millions of people. In fact, just this morning I was on Google to figure out what's the biggest city in Michigan so I could kind of give you an idea of what it is. And obviously it popped up Detroit. And Detroit, it said, had about 675,000 people in their population. The cities that we're talking about are millions of people. Guatemala City has 3 million. Santo Domingo, where we live, is 4.5 million people. These are large cities in Central America and the Caribbean that have very little presence of the Church of the Nazarene. Cities are known for, like, multiple different things. And the cities that we lived in had awesome supermarkets. We could get dentists and doctors for our kids. We had educational opportunities for them in the city that wouldn't have existed in other places. But sometimes when we think about the city, we also think about the dry bone side of the city, right? We think about the think about the contamination and pollution. We think about the traffic. We spend hours of our day sitting in traffic sometimes. We think about those corners that you would never walk past in the middle of the night or even at 8 o'clock at night because you know there's something that's going on there that shouldn't be going on. That happens in the city. We know that this city is filled with that type of activity. We know that our city, Santo Domingo, is growing every single day. because we see apartment complexes going up all of the time. And sometimes when we're here in the States and we think about apartment complexes, we think about really nice areas that are kind of like two stories and you know, has the whole community. When we have apartment complexes go up in Santo Domingo, they are to serve 5,000 to 6,000 people at a time. And this is a picture of an apartment complex that went out right outside our neighborhood, and that's one of three that have gone up in the past 3 years. So we have had an influx of about 15,000 to 20,000 people in the past 3 years just in our side of Santo Domingo. The city is growing every single day. And our city, Santo Domingo, is just an example of what's going on all over the world. Tim Keller has a tweet that we really like to see. And he tweeted a long time ago, oh my gosh, this is in Spanish, so I'm going to read it here. He tweeted a long time ago, cities have more of the image of God per square inch than any other place on earth. And it's kind of a jarring tweet for some of us because we're like, oh, well, does that mean God loves the city more than he loves anywhere else? No. That's not what we're saying. But as people that we would say, we recognize that humans were created in God's image. And the minute I start to say there are cities that have 4 million people in them, we have to recognize that even though we can see the city as these places that are filled with dry bones, it has the potential of being the place that is filled with God's presence because so much of his image exists there. So as the church starts to embrace this mentality that we don't just need to see dry bones, we need to see that God is at work because his image is in the city, it helps us start thinking about the city in a very different way.
We did kind of an investigation. We said, well, okay, we have these big cities. Let's see how much of our population in those 32 countries of our region really is in these huge cities. So we set like the bar at 100,000. We found out that 60% of our population, overall population, is in cities, are in cities, of over 100,000 people. Whoa! 60%. So we thought, oh, clearly then, the Church of the Nazarene, like, at least 60% or even more of our members are going to be there, and our churches are going to be there. You know what we found out? 30%, only 30% of our Nazarene churches and members are actually in those same cities. So, like, in the place where we had the most people, we had the least presence of the Nazarene church and many times of the evangelical church. Oh, that's not good. And there's this moment in Ezekiel 37 where God talks to Ezekiel and says, hey, I just would like to know your perspective. Could these bones live? Can these bones, look at them, you're right there. And sometimes we felt that seeing the city, and not just because of the big population, but also because many times in these big cities, the church is the least effective. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has shown us that we're lacking creativity, we're lacking God's vision, and so sometimes we ourselves find ourselves with Ezekiel in the middle of the dry bones, and we say as he does, oh God, only you know.
So God has brought us to these places in the cities, and he's told us, prophesy to the bones. That's what he says to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel starts prophesying to the bones, and what happens? All of a sudden you start to see a lot of movement start taking place. He's standing in the middle of the bones. I love to try and kind of like close my eyes and think about him standing and seeing nothing but bones all around him. And he starts saying, bones, come together. You will have life. And as the bones start rattling and making noise, I think he kind of is like, these bones are actually moving. Like, what's going on here, right? And so like they start moving, but then they start coming together. And they start forming the human skeletons. And as quickly as he can start to see all of these human skeletons come alive, come together, he sees the tendons on top of them. And then he sees muscles on top of them, which is kind of gross. Like, think about it, right? Like, we read this and we're like, oh, kind of cool, you know, but like, kind of gross. And then all of a sudden, skin is on top of them. But they're still lying there without any life. They've turned into bodies, and there was a lot of movement, and there was a lot of noise, but they still did not have life in them until God says, preach to the breath. Hmm. Prophesy to the breath. Often, we get very content in a lot of movement and action, but there's still not the life of God in us at that point. Until we start saying, God, we desire more of your presence in our hearts, in our lives.
A lot of us would be satisfied just saying, well, that was pretty cool. That was miraculous. But as she said, oh no, there's a great difference. And we're coming out, many of you know, we're coming out of this time of Pentecost. And we're coming out of a time of Trinity Sunday. And here we are, and we're talking about what it means to live in God's Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit to live in us. And really, I just think the most powerful verse here is when Ezekiel then says, "So I prophesied, as He commanded me, and breath entered them." This is the key. They came to life and stood up on their feet. So, like, I don't know if you imagine that. There's a lot going on, and there's tendons, and there's all this other stuff, and then all of a sudden, but they're still not standing, and they're still not breathing. But then the Spirit of God comes into them. Now, I want to kind of transition and tell you, really, in our city, where we live, we've said 4.5 million people. We've talked with a lot of our churches. There are a few that are doing great things. They're serving their community. They're creative. They're doing great things. But a lot of them had no vision. A lot of them said, you know, we would have events and no one would come. And so we said, man, well, let's work with our team and let's start working with the youth. And so we started to do that. And they developed this idea. It wasn't our idea. But they developed this idea that on the 29th of April of this year, that they would have something called an urban invasion. Now, it sounds kind of militant, right? Like I don't know about you, but like we're a little politically correct here, you know, and let's not talk about invading, you know, and let's not talk. Well, they were like, no, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to impact the whole city, and we don't care who thinks about it, you know. And so that's essentially what we did. And so they set an idea, and they said, we're going to have 100 people. And I said, well, 100 people, but mainly youth, right? And they said, no, we're going to invite kids. Oh, but like we're going to have babysitting for the kids. No, we're going to just invite kids to preach to kids. What? You know? And we're going to have adults, and we're going to have teens, and we're going to just invite the church, and we're going to see any of our churches in Santo Domingo, will they come? Now, that was a day. That was a Monday. And that was a holiday. Yeah, I was thinking in Spanish. Sorry. See, when we come back straight from the field, it's like, what is going on? Sorry about that. So it was a holiday, and I was like, oh, man, are we going to even get 100? I don't know if we're going to get this, you know? And so we just got there that day. We had designed the day, and we decided we were going to train for the whole morning. Now some of you would say, well, but aren't you wasting the whole day? It's only one day. I mean, you're only But we realized we had to train them, and as they were starting to come that day, we realized, man, it's 8 o'clock. We set it for 8 o'clock, and there's already 100 here. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. We're about to start. But people keep coming. And then we realize, oh, my goodness, there's 225 people. 25 of them were kids. A lot of them were teens, but a lot of them were adults. And you can see how we pack. We're borrowing from the neighbors' chairs. I mean, we're just, hey, we don't know us, but can we have some chairs, you know, just for today, you know? And it just, there was this spirit and this contagious just anticipation. What will God do today?
And so as we started to do that training event, we had 5 different communities that we were going to impact during that day. And they came in and they registered. And I remember I was sitting at the registration desk, and some of the people had to go to a community called Los Guandules. And the average person, anytime I would say, oh, here you are on the list, and here's your color, and you're going to Los Guandules, their average face would be like this, what? Los Guandules? And they literally would be like, are you sure that's where we want to go? And we said, yes, we're sure that's where we want to go. And there was one point in time when somebody, we kind of felt this. I don't know that somebody ever said it to me, but we felt like people were like, well, you guys are from the United States, and you probably really don't know what Los Guandules is. We as the Dominicans know what Los Guandules is, and we should not be going there. And they said, I don't think we really should go there. And as we knew a little bit more about it, we realized that Los Guandules, and we had known this before we sent them there, right? Like, there's 85,000 people that live in the neighborhood of Los Guandules. Just one little neighborhood, not little, it's obviously very large. 85,000 people, it's right on the Rio Osama, which is a very contaminated river. They don't have any sanitation system in their neighborhood. And to the average person there is very undereducated and impoverished. There's a lot of gang activity that happens in Los Guandules, which is why the Dominicans didn't want to go to Los Guandules. They said, you know, it's going to happen is you're going to take us in your car out there, and we don't even know if your car is going to be there when we come back. And we were like, well, we're going to go to Los Guandules. We started thinking, you know, this is what the city is. We have a city church Los Guandules is only 5 miles from most of these people where they live, and they're afraid to go into these neighborhoods.
Huh.
Urban invasion was so that the church itself could be trained to start opening her eyes to the needs of her own community, because they had gotten so comfortable inside their own little communities that they had started to see others as simply that, just others. They didn't want to go there. They were afraid to go there. But we said, God has called us to a valley of dry bones. Let's go prophesy to the bones. And as we went in with that community, we brought some different activities. And it wasn't typically what they were used to with evangelism. In fact, in Los Guandules, we did some like beauty treatments for the women of that neighborhood, which I can't tell you the last time they ever had anybody look them in the face and say, "You are a beautiful creation of God."
Hmm.
I'm sure they consistently heard from the men in their lives that you're not worth anything.
Hmm.
I'm sure they heard from the city publicity all over the place of you really need this makeup or you really need these clothes if you're going to mean anything in this world. But the church came in and said, you know what? Can we just comb through your hair and put some braids in it and just tell you how beautiful you are?
Hmm.
And the church started to make an impact in Los Guandules just through small instances like that.
So a lot of the women were doing that, but then the men were like, how do we reach these men, you know? Well, the main way to reach men in the Dominican Republic is through Domino's. Like, some of you are like, oh, I'm there, right? You know, it's Domino's, but usually Domino's is like, you feel that time with terrible music and with beer and with, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Well, we set up like domino tournaments, but we didn't have that kind of stuff, right? And so we're just having fun and we're doing that. We also had a baseball tournament. And I have to say, I was in Los Guandules and I was with the youth and we were playing and it was crazy. Like, the pastor came up and she said, I just want to let you know, the people you're playing baseball with are actually the head gang members of this entire place. And I was like, oh, okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean? She goes, continue to play, but just keep that in mind. I was like, what? Come on, I don't even know what you're talking. I don't even know what you're saying, you know? And so we actually had like the Nazarenes versus the gang members. Like, I didn't know it was going to be that way. And I got to tell you, we got whooped, man. I mean, it was bad. They were good. They were really good. And so at the end, it starts to rain, right? At the end of this kind of baseball game and everything. And I was like, my hands were sweating. I was like, oh, shoot, I'm the missionary. I'm probably the one that has to present the gospel at this point, you know. I'm kind of the official, you know, and I'm looking at these guys. They're not going to do it, you know. And so as we kind of gather, it's raining. We gather under this little place so that we don't get wet. And I just say, I start to open my mouth to just present the gospel. I don't even know what I'm going to say to these dudes, you know. And then all of a sudden, one of these guys, 22 years old, I have to tell you, this is the same guy that 6 years ago when we got to Dominican Republic was a bother more than a help. I mean, this guy was annoying. I had to almost tell him it during one of our activities, hey, brother, you need to settle down and you need to get out of here, you know? And all of a sudden, as I'm opening my mouth, I hear him speak. And he had come from the streets. And now he said, in their vernacular, much better than I could have. He said, you know what, guys? I have to tell you, we're not here just to play baseball. We're here because God has changed our life. And we just want you to know. And he started to present it through the beauty treatments, through dominoes, through baseball. Do you guys know? Gang members, and women, and men, and young kids accepted the Lord in that day. And our church that's meeting out of a home in that place in Los Guandules is now having some follow-up with them and discipleship with them. God is changing the city through the Holy Spirit.
Another area that we impacted that day was named Quisqueya. And Quisqueya is very different than Los Guandules. Quisqueya is an area in the professional side of Santo Domingo, and their main streets are lined with just business after business after business. If you live there, it's probably because you're a business owner. And so I was with the group in Quisqueya, and a part of what we were going to do as our evangelistic impact was to go and pray for the businesses. In Jeremiah 29, it says, pray for the peace of the city. It says, when the city prospers, you too will prosper. And so we were putting that into effect in that day, and we were going to go pray for the businesses, that God would help our businesses be ethical businesses, that they would be be bringing peace to our community. And as we were praying for the businesses, we prayed that God would open up the door for some of the people to say, I would like you to pray for me as well, that He would open up the door for us to go and pray for prayer requests that they had. As one of the groups was walking down the road, I remember being on the street and I just didn't see them anymore. You know, we kept walking up our way, and all of a sudden I thought, where's Maggie's group? Like, I haven't seen them for a while. And after about 2.5 hours, we all met back and I said, Maggie, where did you guys go? Like, we saw you for the first 15 minutes and then you just kind of disappeared. And she said, I have to tell you the most amazing story. She said, you know, we started walking down the same street that you were at, but then we started walking down the cross street. She said, and there was a Total gas station that's there, and you can see the gas station right from the church building, right where we're at. She said, that one right there. She said, as we were walking past it, we were so ready to just walk right past it. She said, I don't know if you felt like in certain places as you were walking, but it just felt like there was like a dark presence in that place. So I said, yeah. I said, I kind of felt that in a few places. She said, we just felt that in that gas station. And so we stood on the sidewalk as we were praying, and somebody said, we should go talk to those guys. They see us here. And the other one would say, no, I don't think we should go. And the other one would say, but I think we should go. And finally they said, well, we're going to go in. And we're going to talk to them. And so in the Dominican Republic, they pump your gas for you. So there were about 5 or 6 young guys that were just there waiting for people to come. And they went up and they said, you know, we're with the Church of the Nazarene. We're here to pray for businesses. Is there anything that you would like us to pray for? And they kind of gave them the time of day, but they weren't super interested. And the girls were actually kind of relieved. And they turned around and they were like, okay, we're ready to go. And as they were on their way out, there was a man that was standing kind of off in the corner close to the shop. And he said, hey, I want you to come over here real quick. And they were like, us? You want us to come over real quick? And he said, I need to talk to you real quick. And so they walked up to him, and he said, you know, I heard you say you're with the Church of the Nazarene. And they said, yeah, we are. And he said, I need to tell you something. He said, 3 weeks ago, I was an alcoholic. He said, and I had gotten to the point in my life that I knew alcohol was ruining my life. And I had tried everything to stop. He said, I looked for community services. I looked for family members. I tried to do it on my own, and I could not stop, and it was destroying me every single day. I knew it was destroying my life. I could not stop, and I got to the point that I just cried out to God and said, God, take this away from me. And He did. He said, I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks. He said, but I cried out to a God that I don't know. And I really want to know who He is. And now you're here with the church. And can you tell me, how can I know who God is? And as they stood there, and I remember Maggie saying our hearts were beating so fast. And in the Church of the Nazarene, we would say that's God's prevenient grace that goes before us. That God was in that place long before there was ever any valley of dry bones. And God had been preparing that man to have an encounter with the church that day. And we heard the bones come alive that day because they said, we know how you can know God. And they shared the gospel with him, and he received Jesus. He said, you don't need to convince me. I know that this God is real. He said, I just need to know what I need to do to start serving him. And we saw life come into dry bones that day. Yeah. Because the church believed that where the Spirit is, there is life.
At the end of the day, it was pouring down rain. We had had a concert planned, and it did not go the way we had set up. I mean, it just didn't. And we prayed all the more, Lord, stop the rain. And you know what? He did not stop the rain. I'd love to tell you He did. But do you know what happened? Because it was raining so hard, the people that would have maybe been walking through this massive park ended up just getting, just really, really just finding the one place where there was some shelter. And so all of us, the 225, and a bunch of vendors and a bunch of other families that found themselves in the rain, sought shelter under this gazebo, pretty big gazebo, but still, you can see some of the pictures on this next slide. I mean, we were in there, and you know what? The people that were going to do the concert said, well, we don't have our amps, we don't have our mics, but you know what? We got some of the instruments. So they just started going. I don't know about you guys. Some of you are going to go to the Dominican Republic in November. Dominican Republic knows how to move, man. I mean, in the Caribbean, we got some music. And so they're just playing and everything. And all of a sudden, there came this moment where Emily was like, you know what? Let's just stop the music and let's just pray for our city. Let's just pray for... And as we prayed for our city, a lot of us just looked around and we're like, we couldn't really tell who was from the church and who wasn't. And then we looked and we're like, oh, this guy, I've never met this guy. And so we all just started talking, hey, do you have something that you'd like us to pray for? And in that moment, we all started to just pray. And there came a moment, you can see on this next slide, where 225 people, along with some others who came to know Christ in that moment, then all grabbed hands, and we all just started to pray for Santo Domingo. And God changed lives. And you know what? The key to this whole thing is also shown at the end of that passage in Ezekiel 37. It says this, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. You see, the thing is, maybe there's some places in your life where there's a valley of dry bones. Maybe you see the city. I know we're not in a massive city, but we just believe us, you know, what God's doing in trying to get back to the city where it's kind of the places that have been forgotten. You know, that probably is a message that a lot of us need to hear, no matter where we are. And so what's that place in your life that's full of dry bones, that's hopeless, that maybe you had hope at one time, but no, man, I don't. And what's that place in your family or in your life or in your city or in your church? And maybe you're not there. Maybe you're excited. Maybe you're like, no, but things are happening. Things are going. But still, it's just kind of activism. It's like movement. It's like the bones and the tendons and the muscles and the skin coming together. And sometimes we're so excited about that, but there's still something lacking. To see truly change in our families and change in our cities, change in our churches, we need God's Holy Spirit. We need more of His presence. And we're going to now transition into the time of the Lord's Supper. And maybe you would think, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, you know what? It has to do with all of this. First of all, only God could take the valley of dry bones and turn it into a mighty army. Only God could take the cross, a symbol of capital punishment, and change it into our greatest hope.
Amen.
When we come to this table, we're saying, Lord, that part in me, that part in us, that part in my family or city that just seems dead, I come to you. I take these elements. I say, only by your grace, only by your suffering, Lord, bring life to these dry bones. I'm going to invite those who are going to be administering the elements to come. And I would like to just read from what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you, and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. I'd like to just invite us, if you would close your eyes, let's just pray. Let's reflect. What is that place of dry bones? The hopelessness. Could he really know the Lord? I've been praying for him for ages, and I never see any progress. Could that part of our city be changed? Oh, man, only you know, Lord. Could we truly see revival in this place? Oh, Lord, we need more of your Spirit. Let's pray. Father, in your great goodness, we ask you to bless and sanctify with your word and with your Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that revived those bones. We ask you to bless these gifts of bread and juice, that we, receiving them according to your Son, our Savior, Jesus' holy institution in remembrance of His death, His passion, His sacrifice. We want to be partakers of this blessed body, Your blessed blood. And we also remember and we celebrate Your mighty resurrection and glorious ascension and the promise to come again and Your giving of the Holy Spirit. And we offer You thanks because we are Your children. By Him, by Christ, and with Him, and in Him, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
I would ask you to stand as we pray the prayer that the Lord Jesus Himself taught us to pray boldly. You can find it on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be Thy
kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The table in the Church of the Nazarene is not a piece of membership. The table is open to all that would say Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So it might be that you are the first time visitor today, and you might say, I don't really know what this is about. But if you say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we invite you to eat with us this morning at the table because you're a part of the family.
Yes.
I don't know how your family works, but I would never ask a part of my family to sit somewhere else and watch me partake. And so I invite you to the table this morning as we celebrate the presence of our Lord Jesus. And if you were to say, I don't know who this Jesus is that you've been preaching about this morning. I don't really know what you're talking about, but I want to know who He is.
Yes.
I want to have that kind of Savior. I want to have that kind of relationship. Today is the day. And it could be through receiving the bread and the juice, saying, I receive Your grace, that you would say, I proclaim Him as Lord and Savior. Let today be your day of salvation. We invite you to partake with us.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.